Thank you, Miss Leah. Sometimes the emotion of a song gets the best of all of us. But sometimes that's the best words in the song, the ones you can't hardly get out. Take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles. Some of y'all don't even know that's in the Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It's the last chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles. So if you find 2 Chronicles, just back up just a little bit. And I want to read to you a passage of Scripture here. Looks like it's going to be one of them underwear sermons again today. What they call the brief ones, because we don't have much time. So pray with me, and I'll try and get through with this as soon as we possibly can. But I've been blessed to already be in the Lord's house. I've heard testimonies that have blessed my heart, heard songs that have touched me deeply. And if these things that have already happened, I was even telling Brother Earl, just watching everybody get up in fellowship and shake hands, it eases the tension in a church service. It causes people to smile and fellowship. And some of y'all, if you just sat there all hour, you wouldn't even smile. But it's just good. If we don't have the fellowship and the worship, we don't have a church. And I'm so glad God's been good to us in this day that we're in. By way of background, I'll give you just a moment. Let's just read one verse. Our theme this month is to give God the glory for all things. Beginning in verse number 10, I'll read there and down through verse number 14. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. The book of 1 Chronicles is unique in many ways. It's a book that finds its special place in our list of books of the Bible. If you had a Jewish Bible, their Bible ends, it's set up in a different order, not like ours. Our Old Testament ends in Malachi. A Jewish or Hebrew Bible would end in 2 Chronicles. And these two books, 1 and 2 Chronicles, are unusual to us because most of us don't even like looking at them, much less trying to read them. Because when we begin in chapter 1 of 1 Chronicles, it starts, the very first word is Adam. And then it goes to all the sons of Adam and all those long lists of names that none of us can pronounce. We have to have somebody read them for us. I'm convinced that God had Alexander Scorby, if you don't know his name, Google him. I think God had him born just so he could read the King James Bible to us and pronounce all the words just right. But I was listening to him this morning. I'm not going to attempt the names. But the point is that this book of 1 Chronicles that I just read from, leading up to the phrase, for all things that God has, He has blessed us with, and then we give all things back to Him. It's a reminder to us of the ownership of God, that God owns everything. The old preachers used to say He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He even owns the taters in them hills. God is the owner of everything. And so God has it all, and then God shares or gives it to us. Now, all of us don't have all, but all of us have some. And if we're honest, all of us have enough that God has blessed us with. Now, we probably all like to have more. Most of us might not be trusted with it, but nevertheless, God has given us some things. And the things that He's given us are our all things. Now, all things for me is not all things for you. I have different things, different stuff. I have certain children, I have certain grandchildren. You got your own. But consider, if you would, that all of the things that would be enveloped in your life, if we drew a bubble around it, this is all your things. Where did they come from? Kind of like Brother Jesse said earlier, it's by the grace of God and the grace of God alone that God has given you. He had them all. He gave them to you and me, and then He expects us to freely, willingly, voluntarily give those things back to Him. Now, when you read the book of 1 Chronicles and you read again all those different names and so forth, If we understand where these books are in the Bible, it helps us to grasp a little bit more of what they mean or ought to mean to us. Remember I said they would be the last books of a Jewish Bible? Most of us don't understand this, but at one time Israel was a united nation. They had three kings that ruled over them, Saul, David, and David's son Solomon. They were a united Israel. And then after Solomon's death, his son Rehoboam took over. And under Rehoboam's leadership, the kingdom of Israel split, just like America did during the Civil War, into a north and a south. The northern kingdom was made up of 10 tribes that ended up going off into Assyrian captivity. The Assyrian Empire took them over and literally scattered them to the four winds, and they literally have not completely come back since those days. The southern kingdom was known as Judah, made up of two tribes. A total of 12 tribes made up Israel. Those two tribes were Judah and Benjamin. Benjamin was a smaller tribe at the time, and because Judah was a larger one, the nation became known the southern kingdom of Judah. This kingdom, as a result of their idolatry and disobedience to God, went off into Babylonian captivity. If you've ever read the book of Daniel, Daniel was one of the princes of Israel taken to Babylon, and there he was a captive. Later, of course, we know the story of the Daniel in the lion's den and so forth. Daniel is a product of that Babylonian captivity. Well, during the time of that captivity and following the time of that captivity, that's where the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles falls. Now, this is important. The nation of Judah leaves Jerusalem. What bit of a temple was there was destroyed. The gates are burned with fire. The walls of Jerusalem are torn out. They're hauled off as captives to another land, 1,000 miles away. They stay there, now get this, they stay there for 70 years. In 70 years of time, one generation has died off. Another generation has come on the scene. A generation that knows nothing about their history, nothing about their background, if you would. That generation, after 70 years, God decrees through a man named Cyrus the Persian, who took over, they conquered the Babylonians. And Cyrus walked in and said, I'm going to let the Jews go back. When they go back, an entire nation goes back to Judah. They ain't never seen Jerusalem. They've never seen Judah. They have no idea that they have any roots. So all of a sudden, guess what the Lord did? He said, I'm going to give you two books that will help you. One is 1 Chronicles, the second one is 2 Chronicles, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to list your genealogy and your family tree. Adam, Abel, Seth, it goes down the line and begins to list that because this is a people that knows nothing of where they came from. Does that not sound to you like America? The reason we're turning to AOC, the reason we're turning to somebody that believes in socialism like Bernie, or the reason we're following these people that have no idea what socialism and communism is because we have a generation that doesn't know their roots. They have no idea what it costs to build America, to keep America, to fight for America, and protect America. Thank God there's some in this room that knows what that's about. But we got a generation that has no respect for the flag. And I'm sorry, I wouldn't use the language that Donald Trump said, but if you work for me and you put a knee down instead of standing up and saluting the flag, I'd fire your behind. Say amen right there. I'm just telling you, we believe in the old glory of the stars and stripes because we understand a little bit about our roots, that our roots are not just patriotic. Our roots should be biblical. And so the Lord goes all the way back in their roots. He doesn't go back to just David. He doesn't go back to just somebody like Elijah. He goes all the way back to Adam. Who is Adam? That's the first man that God created. So your roots, Judah, you're going back. You're going to see a temple. You're going to see Jerusalem. This is the place that we used to worship. Your roots are in this. But they had to also be reminded of the royalty that was there. Because, see, they had forgotten. They've been under the rule of the Babylonians. They're not a kingdom. They don't have a king. They have no prince, King Nebuchadnezzar, King Cyrus. So they go back, as if I could say it this way, a whooped people. They have no idea. Okay, yes, we go all the way back to Adam. God made us. We're wonderful. That's great. But we don't have anything. Oh, yes, you do. You got a capital city, Jerusalem, which, by the way, Mr. Trump moved that from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem during his first term here. I think that's significant, even in Bible prophecy. We'll have to study that later. But I just think it's interesting that we go back to the very same roots that we began with. So you go back to Jerusalem, that's the city of the great king. You go back and they're going to set up the walls of Jerusalem. This city, that's the kingdom, is capital. And so all of a sudden they're reminded that they do have a king. David was their king. He was a great king. Now he's gone. But there's another one coming. And all through the Old Testament, all you hear is one day we're going to have a king like David. One day we're going to have a king like David, like David, like David. They had to be reminded. Just like we have to be reminded. Can I say this to you? I appreciate our president. I appreciate previous presidents. I appreciate them all the way back to George Washington. But for the Christian, our king is not a president at the White House. Our king is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ruler and the head over his house, the church. And one day he is coming back as King of kings and Lord of lords. They needed reminders. We need reminders of the royal connection. But they were also a religious people. They weren't going back to Jerusalem just to open up shops, begin businesses, begin selling jewelry, or begin doing some other thing, a tailor down the road, or open up a Jewish restaurant. That was not the purpose of them going back. Y'all are religious people. You're going back to Jerusalem, and the first thing he told them to do was build the temple. The point is this. You can go back. All of you got lives to live. You got homes to build. You got families to raise. That's all fine. But your first priority or to be the Lord. Doesn't that ring true to us today? All of us have lives to live, jobs to work, families to raise. We got all kinds of things that are going. But when our lives get out of order priority-wise, we get ourselves in trouble. First ought not be your job. First ought not to be you. And first ought not to be your bank account. First thing in your life ought to be the worship of Almighty God. That's what chapter 29 is about. David's telling his people, Solomon's fixing to take over for me. I'm going to die and move off the scene. God put in my heart to build a temple. But I don't get to build it because I've been a man of war and shed innocent blood. But my son Solomon's going to build it. God's going to let him. But the Lord let me accumulate all the stuff. I've got gold and silver and precious stones. I've got the artificers, I've got the craftsmen, I've got everybody here. And here's what we're going to do. The first thing we're going to do is build a temple so that when the people did come back from the Babylonian captivity, they would find there a temple, a place where they could go and worship and honor God. Now let's remember this. In the New Testament, the building ain't the temple. In the Old Testament, they had a physical structure, the temple building that they went to. They offered sacrifices. They worshiped God. They went to the priest there. But in the New Testament, it's completely different. Well, this is a wonderful temple that we're in. No, this is a building that we worship in. In the New Testament, we as a group of people, we are the church. People are the church. Furthermore, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not your own ownership. God owns me, and God owns you. So that means He owns my mind, my heart, and my body. I should be careful what I let my mind think on, what I let into my body, and what I use my body for. I should be careful and not use it in any way that would be dishonoring to God. It's important to make those connections. So when David says in verse number 14, for all things come from God, it's everything I got and everything I'll ever have is from God. I think it would do us good today. And I'll just kind of wrap this up right here. I think it would do us good today if we all just stopped and thought this. My wife or my husband, that's from the Lord. God's given me. My children, God's given me. My whole family, however extended it is, God's given me. If you got a house to live, God's given you that. I got a car to drive. I got my lights on. I got food in the cupboard. We can go buy groceries. Everything that you got comes from the Lord. You see, my belief is that if we recognize that, then it makes us more willing to do, to serve, to labor, to give, to praise. When it's just so much, you just get full of it inside, full of, man, God's been good to me. Just to stop every now and then and just say, you know what? When I look around at everything I got, Some of you, compared to what your parents had, you are a millionaire. And if you go back another generation to your grandparents, or if you can remember your great-grands, you are millionaires. Some of them, they didn't even have electricity. We take it for granted. The only phone they had was a can with a string on the end of it. I mean, they didn't have anything. They had literally running water for them was to run to the well, drop the bucket, get it up, and run back to the house with a bucket of water. That's the closest they came to running water. I'm just saying, I could go on and on. But I think it would do us well to stop and think, we've got roots, patriotically, biblically. We've got royalty in our blood. We're children of the King. And then we are a religious people. And I don't mean that in the sense of organized religion. I mean that in the sense that there is a personal God who loves you enough to do what soldiers, men and women, have done over the years to help you have freedom, laid down their life. Some of them would have fought to be able to survive. Jesus didn't come to live. He came to live. But He didn't just come to die for me. He came to die for you. And Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and suffered and bled and died alone that you might be able to have part of His family and be included. Our God is good, for all things come from God. Everything you got and everything you'll ever have, you should give Him praise for. Let's pray together.